What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
A mysterious man that on the surface seemed to be close friends with many of the world's biggest figures. But where did this mysterious man come from? Where did he get all of his money and influence? And why was he using it the way he was? Today, we dive into part two of the Jeffrey Epstein story.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
We pick up the second part of our story on Jeffrey Epstein at his conviction and sentencing, starting in 2008. On June 30th, 2008, after Epstein pleaded guilty to a state charge, one of two of procuring for prostitution of a girl below age 18, he was sentenced to 18 months in prison. While most convicted sex offenders in Florida are sent to state prison, Epstein was instead housed in a private wing of the Palm Beach County Stockade and, according to the sheriff's office, was, after 3.5 months, allowed to leave the jail on work release for up to 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. This contravened the sheriff's own policies and required a maximum remaining sentence of 10 months and making sex offenders ineligible for the privilege. He was allowed to come and go outside of specified release hours. Epstein's cell door was left unlocked and he had access to the attorney room where a television was installed for him before he was moved to the Stockade's previously unstaffed infirmary. He worked at the office of the foundation he had created shortly before reporting to jail. He dissolved it after he had served his time. The sheriff's office received $128,000 from Epstein's nonprofit to pay for the cost of extra services being provided during his work release. His office was monitored by permit deputies whose overtime was paid by Epstein. They were required to wear suits and checked in welcomed guests at the front desk. Later, the sheriff's office said these guest logs were destroyed per the department's records retention rules, although inexplicably the Stockade visitors' logs were not. He was allowed to use his own driver to drive him between jail and his office and other appointments. Epstein served almost 13 months before being released for a year of probation on house arrest until August 2010. While on probation, he was allowed numerous trips on his corporate jets to the residences in Manhattan and the U.S. Virgin Islands. He was allowed long shopping trips to walk around Palm Beach for exercise. After a contested hearing in January of 2011 and an appeal, he stayed registered in New York State as a level 3 high risk of repeat offense sex offender, a lifelong designation. At that hearing, the Manhattan District Attorney argued unsuccessfully that the level should be reduced to a low-risk level 1 and was chided by the judge. Despite opposition from Epstein's lawyer that he had a main home in the U.S. Virgin Islands, the judge confirmed he personally must check in with the New York Police Department every 90 days. Though Epstein had been a level 3 registered sex offender in New York since 2010, the New York Police Department never enforced the 90-day regulation. Their noncompliance is a felony. The immunity agreement and his lenient treatment were the subject of ongoing public dispute. The Palm Beach police chief accused the state of giving him preferential treatment, and the Miami Herald said U.S. Attorney Acosta gave Epstein a deal of a lifetime. Following Epstein's arrest in July of 2019 on sex trafficking charges, Acosta resigned as Secretary of Labor effective July 19, 2019. After the accusations became public, several persons and institutions returned donations that they had received from Epstein, including Elliot Spitzer, Bill Richardson, and the Palm Beach Police Department. Harvard University announced it would not return any money. Various charitable donations that Epstein had made to finance children's education were also questioned. On June 18, 2010, Epstein's former house manager, Alfredo Rodriguez, was sentenced to 18 months incarceration after being convicted on an obstruction charge for failing to turn over to police and subsequently trying to sell a journal in which he had recorded Epstein's activities. FBI Special Agent Christina Pryor reviewed the material and agreed it was information that would have been extremely useful in investigating and prosecuting the case, including names and contact information of material witnesses and additional victims. On February 6 of 2008, an anonymous Virginia woman known as Jane Doe No. 2 filed a $50 million civil lawsuit in federal court against Epstein, saying that when she was 16 years old and a minor in 2004 and 2005, she was recruited to give Epstein a massage. She claims she was taken to his mansion where he exposed himself and had sexual intercourse with her and paid her $200 immediately afterward. A similar $50 million suit was filed in March of 2008 by a different woman who was represented by the same lawyer. These and several similar lawsuits were all dismissed. All other lawsuits have been settled by Epstein out of court. Epstein made many out-of-court settlements with alleged victims. So, we know this guy is a pretty big creep and does all sorts of horrible shit, and the donations that he had made had been returned and such, but this is shit that, you know, was going down way back, you know, 10 years ago when people were aware of this. I'm just amazed. I don't know. Could Jeffrey Epstein happen today? Do you think could as far as like the associations with all those big names and political figures and celebrities that he had almost up until the end, could this happen today, or would it just get so, assuming there's no pandemic going on or other massive things, riots and such, assuming we're in a normal world, could the attention, you know, be or not be there the way it was in like 2010 and 2008 for him to get away with all that stuff?
In my opinion, absolutely.
You think?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, because people with money, like that whole story right there, that segment of that story,
yeah,
is everything that's wrong in the world because he has so much money.
Yeah.
Somebody else who doesn't have money convicted of similar crimes.
Yeah.
Have been locked up in jail. They wouldn't have had a private driver and donated $128,000 to the police department so they could have a secretary at the front door or whatever. Yeah. Like he was treated so differently because he has money.
Yeah.
And I think stories like this probably happen way more than we would ever imagine.
Well, I wonder about that. Like when it,
money.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to stuff like that, like how is it even an option, I guess, is what my question is. I've never been to jail. I've never been to prison. I've never done anything where I have any firsthand experience. But my mind says, it's like, okay, you're there. You're doing your sentence. there isn't any amount of money that's going to get you a secretary and a private driver and another building that's just yours. It's like, no, that's not an option. You are here. This is what you have to do. The most you can do with your money is buy some Nutty Bars or a Star Crunch in the commissary.
Right. Like, but people aren't treated the same. You know, and you can, you could be someone convicted on similar crimes. And that said, I mean, you'd still be an effing asshole for doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I would not think it any more highly of somebody else because what he did was horrific, I think.
Yeah. I mean, how the fuck does that happen? Is it just like you go to the state or the city or whatever the fuck you're being held and say, look, give me all this stuff and I'm going to give you all this money because they need
and
it.
And the people he's talking to, and it's like, oh, and by the way, here's $5,000 for you to spend however you want because he's got so much money, and money makes people shut up and look the other way. And that's what's wrong with the system.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who, now I could go off on this forever, but somebody who commits a very low level offense can't get off because they don't have money to hire a lawyer.
Sure.
Because lawyers are really expensive.
Yeah, and you're stuck
with a guy like him has money to throw around to everybody.
Yeah.
So he's totally treated differently, where someone else who, you know, bought a bag of weed is still sitting in prison.
Yeah.
You know what? It's just, it's not the justice system. It's kind of the injustice system.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, it's crazy what can be done and what is done and what's allowed to be done.
And then look at the way he was treated. Like, I hope those people feel like this is rests on them. When they hear this story, it's not all Jeffrey Epstein. It's all the people who helped him along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not just the people who are also abusing these young women. It was the people who are looking the other way and letting it and not holding him up to probation standards that anybody else would have to be held up to.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people along the way who are complicit.
There are. And it completely runs the gamut of personalities as well. And it's one of those things where you look at all the company he kept and the flight logs and all this and all that. And it's like, you know, you have conservative, you have Democrat, and you have everything there. It runs the gamut. And I think it's a scary thing, you know, when you just look at some of this and go, holy shit, could that person be involved in this? Because it's like, yeah, would that change your opinion of someone? Certainly. You know, but it's like some of those people, it's like, it's kind of scary to think that this was going on with some of those individuals and the accusations that are out there. But it's reality. And that's what we, you know, have to deal with more than anything else. So anyway, let's continue on with the story of Jeffrey Epstein here. On the dark side of Wikipedia. I'm going to note now, this will probably end up being a three-parter. Continuing, on December 30th of 2014, federal civil suit was filed in Florida by Jane Doe number 1, Courtney Wilde, and Jane Doe 2 against the United States for violations of the Crimes Victims' Rights Act by the U.S. Department of Justice, NPA, with Epstein and his limited 2008 state plea. There was a latter unsuccessful effort to add Virginia Roberts, Jane Doe number 3, and another woman, Jane Doe number 4, as plaintiffs to that case. The addition accused Alan Dershowitz of sexually abusing a minor, Jane Doe 3, provided by Epstein. The allegations against Dershowitz were stricken by the judge and eliminated from the case because he said they were outside the intent of the suit to reopen the plea agreement. A document filed in court alleges that Epstein ran a sexual abuse ring and lent underage girls to prominent American politicians, powerful business executives, foreign presidents, a well-known prime minister, and other world leaders. This long-running lawsuit is pending in federal court aimed at vacating the federal plea agreement on the grounds that it violated victims' rights. On April 7th, 2015, Judge Kenneth Mara ruled that the allegations made by alleged victim Virginia Roberts against Prince Andrew had no bearing on the lawsuit by alleged victims seeking to reopen Epstein's non-prosecution plea agreement with the federal government. The judge ordered that allegations to be struck from the record. Judge Mara made no ruling as to whether claims by Roberts are true or false, though he did not allow Jane Doe 3 and 4 to join the suit. Mara specifically said that Roberts may later give evidence when the case comes to court. On February 21st, 2019, the case of the two Jane Does versus the United States senior judge of the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida, Kenneth Mara, said federal prosecutors violated the law by failing to notify victims before they allowed him to plead guilty to only the two Florida offenses. The judge left open what the possible remedy could be. In a December 2014 Florida court filing by Bradley Edwards and Paul G. Castle meant for inclusion in the Crime Victims' Rights Act, Virginia Roberts Guffrey alleged in a sworn affidavit that at the age of 17, she had been sexually trafficked by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell for their own use and for use by several others, including Prince Andrew and retired Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz. Guffrey also claimed that Epstein, Maxwell, and others had physically and sexually abused her. She alleged that the FBI may have been involved in a cover-up. She said she had served as Epstein's sex slave from 1999 to 2002 and had recruited other underage girls. Prince Andrew, Epstein, and Dershowitz all denied having had sex with Guffrey. Dershowitz took legal action over the allegations. Guffrey filed a defamation suit against Dershowitz, claiming he purposefully made false and malicious defamatory statements about her. A diary portrayed to belong to Guffrey was published online. Epstein entered an out-of-court settlement with Guffrey, as he has done in several other lawsuits. In 2019, Guffrey was interviewed by BBC's Panorama, where she continued to attest that Epstein had trafficked her to Prince Andrew. She appealed directly to the public by stating, "I implore the people in the UK to stand up beside me, to help me fight this fight, not to accept this as being okay." As of 2016, the accusations had not been tested in any court of law. As a result of Guffrey's allegations and Maxwell's comments about them, Guffrey and Maxwell sued for defamation in September of 2015. After much legal confrontation, the case was settled under seal in May of 2017. The Miami Herald, other media, and Alan Dershowitz filed to have the documents about the settlement unsealed. After the judge dismissed their request, the matter was appealed to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Court. On March 11, 2019, in the appeal of the district judge's refusal to unseal the documents relating to the 2017 defamation settlement of Guffrey versus Maxwell, the Second Circuit Court gave parties 1 week to provide good cause as to why they should remain under seal, without which they would be unsealed on March 19, 2019. Later, the court ordered these documents to be unsealed after having them redacted to protect innocent parties. In Guffrey's testimony, she claimed that she was directed by Maxwell to give erotic massages and engage in sexual activities with Prince Andrew, Jean-Luc Brunel, Glenn Dubin, Marvin Minsky, Governor Bill Richardson, another unnamed prince, an unnamed foreign president, a well-known prime minister, and an unnamed hotel chain owner from France, among others. The deposition does not claim that any of these men in fact engaged with Guffrey, and as of August 2019, none of these men have been indicted or sued for related sex crimes, Guffrey testified. My whole life revolved around just pleasing these men and keeping Ghislaine and Jeffrey happy. Their whole entire lives revolved around sex. On August 9th, less than 24 hours before Epstein's death, 2,000 pages of previously sealed documents from the case were released. Two sets of additional sealed documents will be analyzed by a federal judge to determine whether they should be made public. A John Doe asked the judge on September 3rd to permanently keep the documents secret, claiming unproven allegations of impropriety could damage his reputation, though he had no evidence his name was included. So it just keeps going, and we have some more interesting allegations up in a moment, but I thought we would just kind of pause that far in. And
so circle back to that very last part. John Doe.
Yeah.
It wants the records kept sealed.
Yes.
Because he might be mentioned in them.
Claiming unproven allegations of impropriety could damage his reputation, though he had no evidence his name was included. So he's taking a good bet that he could be in there if he had things going on in the camp of Epstein.
Like, why would you? I'm trying to think this through. So
he's trying to.
I'm not saying I did anything, but I mean, maybe somebody thought I did.
Yeah, he's saying he didn't do anything,
as a John Doe. And if as a judge, I mean, the judge knows who he is. The judge is the right. only one who knows who he is. So if he can convince the judge to make him a John Doe or keep the records completely sealed, he'll be okay with it. But he's more so asking just to keep it completely sealed.
Because if they are unsealed, his name might be in there.
Even if he is a John Doe, others may be able to connect dots as to who was with who at what time. And then you could figure out who the fuck it
is. Which seems like a pretty guilty person.
Oh, completely.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I would, that would be like you saying, hey, I'm the, as a John Doe.
Yeah.
I don't want, and you'd be like, why would I do that? But I don't know any of those people. I don't have anything to do with it.
It sounds like you're admitting to a crime, but are you admitting to a crime when you're doing that?
But it's like I might or might not be even in there, but in case I am.
Yeah. That's the weird.
I didn't do anything. I didn't have sex with underage girls. Like, that's just so odd to me.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
And it's probably just issued through some generic attorney, so it really can't be traced back as to whose attorney it is. And,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it makes me think John Doe was having sex with underage girls.
Assuredly. Yeah.
That Jeffrey Epstein. Dine hooked him up with.
Yeah.
Like, that's so weird.
Well, this next chapter should be interesting. As it continues, it's titled Jane Doe versus Epstein and Trump. So here we go, kids. Let's continue the ride. Seatbelts on. A federal lawsuit filed in California in April of 2016 against Epstein and Donald Trump by a California woman alleged that the two men sexually assaulted her at a series of parties at Epstein's Manhattan residence in 1994 when she was 13 years old. The suit was dismissed by a federal judge in May of 2016 because it did not raise valid claims under federal law. The woman filed another federal suit in New York in June of 2016, but it was withdrawn 3 months later, apparently without being served on the defendants. A third federal suit was filed in New York in September of 2016. Several other civil suits were filed against Epstein. Second criminal case, trafficking charges, U.S. versus Jeffrey Epstein. On July 6th of 2019, Epstein was arrested at an airport in New Jersey on sex trafficking charges. He was jailed at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in New York City, which has held prisoners such as John Gotti, El Chapo, and Paul Manafort. According to witnesses and sources, on the day of his arrest, about a dozen FBI agents forced open the door to his Manhattan townhouse, the Herbert N. Strauss House, with search warrants. The search of his townhouse turned up evidence of sex trafficking and also found hundreds of perhaps thousands of sexually suggestive photographs of fully or partially nude females. Some of the photos were confirmed as those of underage females. In a locked safe, compact discs were found with handwritten labels, including the descriptions Young Name Plus Name, Miss Nudes 1, and Girl Picks Nude. Also found in the safe were $70,000 in cash, 48 diamonds, and a fraudulent Austrian passport, which expired in 1987, that had Epstein's photo but another name. The passport had numerous entrance and exit stamps, including entrance stamps that showed the use of the passport to enter France, Spain, the United Kingdom, and Saudi Arabia in the 80s. The passport showed his place of residence in Saudi Arabia. According to his attorneys, Epstein had been advised to acquire the passport because, as an affluent member of the Jewish faith, he was in danger of being kidnapped while traveling abroad. On July 8th, prosecutors of the Public Corruption Unit of the Southern District of New York charged him with sex trafficking and conspiracy to traffic minors for sex. The grand jury indictment alleges that dozens of underage girls were brought into Epstein's mansions for sexual encounters. Judge Kenneth Morrow was to decide whether the non-prosecution agreement that protected Epstein from the more serious charges should still stand. Epstein requested to be released on bond, offering to post $100 million with a condition that he would also submit to new house arrest in his New York City mansion. U.S. District Judge Richard M. Berman denied the request on July 18th, saying that Epstein posted a danger to the public and a serious flight risk to avoid prosecution. On July 23rd, Epstein was found injured and semi-conscious at 1:30 a.m. on the floor of his cell with marks around his neck that were suspected to be the result of either a suicide attempt or an assault. His cellmate, former New York City police officer Nicholas Tartaglini, who is charged with four counts of murder, was questioned about Epstein's condition. He denied having any knowledge of what happened. Epstein himself said he recollected nothing. According to NBC News, two sources said that Epstein might have tried to hang himself. A third said the injuries were not serious and could have been staged. And a fourth said that an assault by his cellmate had not been ruled out. On August 29, 2019, following Epstein's death 10 days prior, the case against Epstein was closed after Judge Berman dismissed all sex trafficking charges. However, he also expressed support for Epstein's accusers. Prosecutors objected to the ruling and stated they would continue an investigation for potential co-conspirators. On August 23, 2019, the prosecutor's office in Paris, France, opened a preliminary investigation into Epstein. He's being investigated for rape and sexual assault of minors under and over the age of 15, criminal association with a view to committing crimes, and association with criminals with a view to committing offenses. The prosecutor said that the goal of the investigation is to find possible crimes committed in France and elsewhere against French citizens. And it doesn't end there. I'll say that. We're going to get into his personal life and more of what really made Jeffrey Epstein the crazy fucker that he was.
So it doesn't even end with his death?
No, it doesn't. It that's just one of the many chapters in his story. So
do you, I mean, who knows? No one will ever know. But do you think that he killed himself?
No.
I think he knew too much shit about other people.
Yeah.
Like that John Doe guy.
Yeah.
Like, he knew things that could really ruin other people's lives. Mm-hmm.
That's...
Which...
Yeah.
They had already ruined people's lives, those same people. But it's interesting to me because there's a lot of people who would benefit with him dead and silenced.
Yes, and narcissists to that degree tend to not go down that road. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it just doesn't really present itself because they believe too much in themselves and don't have the shame aspect thing going on.
When
there.
You have such a high profile prisoner like him, how could you not be doing exactly what you're told to do, like checking on him, and you know? You would be watching for him to commit suicide.
Yeah, it's crazy.
One is a high profile prisoner who commits suicide.
Yeah, it's crazy. The cellmate. Have you seen the pictures of the cellmate?
No.
It's like the last guy you'd ever want to be a cellmate with because it's like he's gonna beat the shit out of you or kill you. I mean, so I think that could be a possibility. I don't know. I mean, that would just be, who knows? I mean, but it's, if you're just looking at like a profile picture, you're like, I'm scared in all seriousness. I don't know. I mean, his story is what they're sticking with. I'm just saying, who knows? Who knows what could have gone on? There are so many possibilities. And I think that's part of the strategy of,
wouldn't you have, it seems like, there's video cameras everywhere. It seems like there'd be some kind of video camera on somebody like him.
They were all broken, according to them. Things weren't working right. Yeah. Fucking crazy. He was on suicide watch and like a day or two later, a day or two prior. And why the fuck would you take somebody off of that just like that? They put him on it and they took him right off. It's like, that's not how that works. That is not how that works. And it's just... There's so much. It's funny. The I forget what his name is, but he's the head of, I believe, Skeptic magazine. So the guy totally all about, you know, debunking everything, including most conspiracy theories. And then I heard something where the Jeffrey Epstein case was brought up to him in an interview. And the reaction was, that's a conspiracy theory. Like, it's like of all the conspiracy theories this guy's like ever heard in his life. And he says he doesn't believe any of them. This is the one he goes and says, yeah, without a fucking doubt, this is a conspiracy theory. And I believe it. I mean, it's just too many people, too many majorly powerful people could have been outed and killing him was a stop.
That, like, because I don't, who knows?
Yeah.
But with all the money he had, that no one was ever really, really sure how he had all the money he had.
Yeah.
But he's running this huge sex trafficking ring.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that could be where the money's coming from.
Yeah.
You know, like, so is he just, these men aren't paying for sex. They just show up. Oh, look, a 16-year-old. I had no idea, but I'll have sex with her. And no, like, to me, you're covering your own ass at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's photographic evidence. You know, he's blackmailing everybody.
Yeah.
He had to have been. Because that, you can't let that shit get out.
Mm-hmm. There's been many people who have come out and said that they've seen like his camera rooms and stuff in his homes where he literally taped everybody in every room doing everything. And then it was more so like he has blackmail on so many people that
I would think so. You know,
and that's what that's how he kept his thing going. It was he's black. So he basically like created a free pass for himself out of fear of being the one that's going to expose you. And enough of them got together and said, we have to kill him and otherwise our days are fucking numbered. And
it's just like one pissed
off one did. Yeah.
Guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be anybody.
Yeah. It's one of those cases
that
they
treat those women, those girls at the time,
mm-hmm.
just like they're a piece of meat. You know, it's not like they're human with emotions and like they don't care.
Yeah.
That's what's so sad, is that there's victims in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there certainly
and he
are.
He ain't one of them.
No. No, not at all. Let's get a little bit into the personal life of Jeffrey Epstein here on this episode before we run out of time. And let's maybe learn about how to grow a monster. Previous long-term girlfriends associated with Epstein include Ava Anderson Dubin and publishing heiress Ghislaine Maxwell. Epstein was romantically linked to Anderson Dubin for an 11-year period in the 1980s, and the two later remained friendly well after her marriage to Glenn Dubin. Epstein met Ghislaine Maxwell, daughter of disgraced media baron Robert Maxwell, by 1991. Epstein and Maxwell came to the United States in 1991 to recover from her grief following the death of her father. Maxwell was implicated by several of Epstein's accusers as procuring and recruiting underage girls in abduction to once being Epstein's girlfriend. In a 2009 deposition, several of Epstein's household employees testified that Maxwell had a central role in both his public and private life, referring to her as his main girlfriend, who also handled the hiring, supervising, and firing of staff starting around 1992. In 1995, Epstein renamed one of his companies, the Ghislaine Corporation, in Palm Beach. The company was dissolved in 1998. In 2000, Maxwell moved into a 7,000-square-foot townhouse less than 10 blocks from Epstein's New York mansion. This townhome was purchased for $4.95 million by an anonymous limited liability company with an address that matches the office of J. Epstein & Company. Representing the buyer was Darren Indyke, Epstein's longtime lawyer. In a 2003 Vanity Fair expose, Epstein refers to Maxwell as my best friend. Epstein was a longtime acquaintance of Prince Andrew and Tom Barrack and attended parties with many prominent people, including Bill Clinton, George Stephanopoulos, Donald Trump, Katie Kirk, Woody Allen, and Harvey Weinstein. His contacts included Rupert Murdoch, Michael Bloomberg, Richard Branson, Michael Jackson, Alec Baldwin, the Kennedys, Rockefellers, and Rothschilds. His contacts also included Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak, British Prime Minister Tony Blair, and Saudi Arabian Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Both Clinton and Trump claimed that they never visited Epstein's island. Epstein owned a private Boeing 727 jet nicknamed the Lolita Express and traveled in it frequently, logging 600 flying hours a year, usually with guests on board. The jet got its nickname, the Lolita Express, from the locals in the Virgin Islands because of its apparent frequent arrival with underage teenage girls to St. James. In 2003, Epstein flew to Cuba aboard his plane with Colombian President Andrés Pastrana Arango at the invitation of Cuban President Fidel Castro. According to Fabiola Santiago of the Miami Herald, Epstein was likely considering relocating to Cuba in order to escape U.S. law enforcement. Epstein was under an investigation from U.S. law enforcement at the time. In 2009, Epstein's brother Mark claimed Trump had flown on Epstein's plane at least once. It later told the Washington Post that Trump flew numerous times in Epstein's airplane, although Mark was only present one of the flights.
According to Michael Cochran, Trump flew Epstein on his own airplane at least once. And in September 2002, Epstein flew Clinton, Kevin Spacey, and Chris Tucker to Africa in his jet. The flight records obtained in 2016 show Bill Clinton flew 27 times to at least a dozen international locations. Flight logs did not list any Secret Service detail for at least five flights, all in Asia. And Secret Service stated that there is no evidence that the former president making a trip to Epstein's private island in 2019. A Clinton spokesman stated that in 2002 and 2003, Clinton took four trips on Epstein's airplane, making stops on three continents, all with his staff and Secret Service detail. At the time of Epstein's 2019 arrest, Clinton's spokeswoman, Angel Orena, stated that Clinton had not spoken to Epstein in well over a decade and has never been to Little St. James Island, Epstein's ranch in New Mexico, or his residence in Florida. So I think that's where we'll stop this edition of the program. We'll get into a part three next week as we continue down the story and life of Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, where we're at here with this, what I mean, this has obviously been one that's been talked about much, is the Clinton thing and the flight logs and flying with someone like that many times to not know anything is going on. Your thoughts?
Well, we also know that Bill Clinton liked young women.
Yeah.
I mean, that was well known.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole nother thing. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's funny because, and I could go off on a tangent on that.
Sure.
But, like, I listened to something about Monica Lewinsky, and I just heard it so differently when time had passed. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he was a predator and he really did abuse her.
Sure.
You know, so I don't know. So knowing what he's capable of.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
is he doing hanging around with that guy and riding on his plane and going where and doing what? The Lolita Express?
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. It's fucking insane. I mean, and it's one of those things for you know, anybody out there who's listening, where, you know, everything is so polarized right now with like this or that. And anytime you, I mean, I'll admit, I thought I enjoyed the 90s. I was a teenager. I thought the Clinton was a fairly decent president as a president, but looking and learning all these things now and finding out where, you know, what the fuck the guy was up to, you know, allegedly, and the evidence that points to it allegedly, you know, if so, yeah, that's not a good human being. Like, that shit's not good, and it's not permittable and should never be presidential. And had it been, you know all these so many things, you know, where it's like, you know, it's a hard pill to swallow when it's something that you agree with or like. But that's what everyone needs to do more of on every side of any equation. If you find out information later or during, like, oh shit, this guy's doing.
And you're right. It was. It's different to revisit it now.
Yeah.
Because when it happened, Monica Lewinsky was the joke.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, every night, late night talk show, like, everybody's making Monica Lewinsky jokes and cigar jokes and blue dress jokes, and it was like some funny thing. But in reality, he manipulated her.
Yeah, it was.
And he promised her things that she actually believed because she was young. And as a woman, I've been in that situation, not with President Clinton, but, you know, but in that situation where you're involved with somebody who's promising you all this stuff and you believe him.
And it's a fucking president of the United States, you know?
Right.
It's like, it's a hard pill to swallow when it's folks and people that you otherwise would have had a different opinion of at a different time. And it's like, holy shit. You know, but that's just the reality. It's like, that's where I don't know. I've always, it's admitting fault. And I think that's what it is. Nobody likes to admit fault, that what they thought at one time was wrong, or what they stood up for at one time, maybe they shouldn't have stood up for, or whatever it may be. It's being able to look at your life and look at stuff and say, you know what? I think I changed my mind, or I know I changed my mind, and here's why, you know, on my thoughts on this or that. And it can go either way. And that's if everybody could do a little bit more of that, we'd have a hell of a lot less polarizing world, you know?
And maybe a little bit less hanging out with people like Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, maybe not getting on a fucking airplane with a accused child predator 26 times after the fact.
And I mean, as often as this guy was having young girls come over to his house, it couldn't have been a secret.
Yeah.
You know, he's having parties with these girls.
Yeah. It's scary. Just, I mean, we're in a world now where I know I asked it at the beginning, do you think this stuff could happen today? And you said absolutely with powerful people.
I do. I think it happens all the time.
And I think it does too. But I think we lived in a different time where it could almost be flaunted in a way, because this shit was flaunted in a way. For people to look back on this shit, the pictures that are out, and there's so many pictures that are out now, is public stuff. And the rumors that would float about this guy for all those years, it's like R. Kelly too. It's like everybody knew this shit was going down, and it's like, okay, there's a video of him doing this. I don't know what else we more need to do, but it's like, it can work in any situation where the individual, for whatever reason, is liked enough. I don't know why Epstein was liked enough, because he wasn't like
it's
a public.
Money.
It was the money. It was the money and the knowledge that he had. He had the blackmail on people.
And connections.
Yeah. Yep.
So, like, look, you're at a party, and here walks Donald Trump.
Yeah. That's what it was.
But, you know, Prince Andrew walks in. Jesus.
It's amazing how long people can hold on to, or were able to hold on, I think is my point, to a public persona and a public life, and people still wanting to be around you in the 80s, in the 90s, in the 2000s. I think just now we're finally to the, I don't know that, like I said, like you said, this stuff probably goes on, but I don't think it can be flaunted the way it once was. I don't think you can do it quite that same way, because
I think that Jeffrey Epstein had a way of keeping it secret too.
Secret.
We didn't know Bill Clinton was involved, and
let
me throw that in. Allegedly.
Allegedly, there was those allegations for a long time. That wasn't just like now. This.
But nobody really knows what it was. It was kind of like the same thing with Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky.
Sure.
Like, yeah, right. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
But then when you revisit it, did she? You know, she's manipulated by the most powerful man in the world.
I just don't get when you're the most powerful people in the world, why on earth you're palling around with some of these guys? Or is it, you know, when you look at a situation, whether it be, you know, the allegations that have been made against Clinton or really anybody? I mean, is it something where you look at it this way? Maybe an individual met him, went to the island, did what, you know, something illegal. He's on tape now with Epstein.
Absolutely.
And then maybe he didn't have, this doesn't excuse anything, but maybe he had no intent of like continuing to have this hangout buddy-buddy relationship. But now he has no fucking choice because he's on tape. And now anytime Epstein needs anything, and you're the fucking leader of whatever, if you're the president, if you're the leader of a company, if you're whatever you have that he wants, you're going to be going to that island however many times he fucking calls you. And
the other thing is that men don't think with their brains, and no offense to you and men who actually do think with their brains, but you know what I'm talking about. It's like, God, there's so many men. If you would say, hey, you can have this and no one will ever know.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, I'm all over that.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a certain amount of that involved.
There's a certain amount of really dark, shady shit that goes on in
all of it. So bothersome
in those upper echelon circles of money, where it gets like there's money, there's rich people, and then there's like, what the fuck is this? Because it's like it starts to turn into this other creepy world where it's like it's beyond money. There's more money than anything you could want and get it, and it's good. And then that's where it starts to get into crazy shit. That's where you have like sex slaves and that sort of stuff. And that's where the world just turns itself upside down and you just see just how disastrous and dark a human being can get. Money corrupts. I mean, that, I guess, is the ultimate example of it. That is going to wrap up this episode of The Dark Side of Wikipedia. We will continue on with the Jeffrey Epstein story on our next episode with Carol. This is interesting as we learn more about this creep. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Please press subscribe wherever it is you are downloading podcasts and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you could. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
By law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to Dom.
Domino's. Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.